This fellow through the whole rate case wasn't an attorney either.
Right.
The one guy from the one side wasn't an attorney either.
Ed Cardigan?
Skokos. He wasn't an attorney either. He's got a business, but they let him practice. Right? He wasn't an attorney.
Okay. Are we recording? All right. We're ready to go. Good morning. It is, what day is it? It's Wednesday, May 25th, 2011. We're here in the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room in the state capitol, 12th floor. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission. For the record, this is Tony Clark, chair of the commission. I'm joined today by my fellow commissioners, Kevin Kramer and Brian Kalk. We have before us for a work session case number PU-10-124. Just to remind everyone who may be listening in, work sessions are just an opportunity for commission and commission staff to talk amongst itself regarding a pending case. In this case, it is the Montana Dakota Utilities Company electric rate increase application. The commission has had a hearing on a settlement that was proposed after the original hearing, and we've had a few work sessions on this before prior to the settlement, but this is the first time we've had an opportunity to talk since the settlement hearing. Apologize, I should have noted this up front. We're getting a little bit of a late start simply for technical reasons. We had some difficulty with the internet for anyone who may be listening in, but we're now up and functional. With that, I'll turn it over to my fellow commissioners. This is in Commissioner Kalk's portfolio. So, Brian.
Well, thank you, Tony. Just the I think you set it up very well. I guess for me is that, you know, I've gone through the proposed order with Pat and folks, and, you know, like you said, it's been such a long ordeal. We've had the hearing, then we were, I think, very close to the three of us having a decision. And then this last proposed settlement agreement came in. We had the yet one more hearing, got the record on there. But for me personally, I'd like to, you know, hit some of the nuances of the change, but I'm very comfortable where we're at right now, I guess, just to throw out my initial thoughts. So with that, I'm ready to roll.
Okay. Kevin?
Good morning. Welcome. And go through it.
Okay.
Thanks.
The draft order on settlement is pretty straightforward. Basically, the bulk of the document is the settlement itself, which is the nature of any settlement. And so there's not a lot to the order. It's only about seven pages. And basically, it's just a recitation of the proceeding itself as opposed to much opining on it. Alana, did you...
I just wanted to mention the theory that the attachments to the settlement, we were not intending to keep those attached. We will add a sentence saying that. But because the settlement becomes part of the order, the attachment parts would go. Okay, they're there for your use, but we have to, that's one thing we would change in the order. Okay.
Got it. Well, let's start out with this. Since we haven't had an opportunity to discuss the settlement, merits thereof or lack, perhaps we do anything else, we should just talk about where the commission is at with regard to the settlement itself, whether there's an interest in adopting it. If there's not, is there, I suppose an option B would be, say, we're generally liking where the settlement's going, but might have specific issues for the parties to consider, and then they can talk about it amongst themselves, or is there not even a willingness to do that and just take the case up as it was left, which was always the commission's option as well.
Well, I can give you my thoughts, I guess. I said I've talked a lot with the folks, and I think that what I was trying to get at when we had the work sessions, I guess, several weeks ago, I think I got the information that I was looking for, and I'm comfortable with where we're at right now. I would like to maybe have just a little more explanation from our folks just exactly what it was that we were able to gain out of this, if you will. But I think that was some of the question that came out. But I'm comfortable where we're at right now.
Well, the time that the original application was filed, there have been several settlement agreements, and the proposed order sets forth where we started, and it goes through and it shows the revenue changes as we went along with the different settlements. So to answer your question about what we gained from the from what we would gain from acceptance of the settlement, just we'd look at the revenue request initially, which was $15.4 million, and now the revenue the revenue increase based on acceptance of the settlement would be $7 million. I think it's six. The rate of
current rates,
right?
Above current rates.
Well, if it's effectively what the current rate is right now with interim rate.
With the interim rate.
It's the interim rate.
Yes. Yep. Correct. The other thing that was gained through the settlement discussions was a difference in the return on equity and rate of return. Initially, the return on equity was proposed to be 12%, and the return on rate of return on investment was 9.09. And after the all the settlements, the return would be 8.699, and the return on equity, oh, hang on a second. I think I have that in here somewhere. Yeah, that's rate of return on rate base. 10.75 is, that's probably right, 10.75 is the return on equity. The percentage increase initially filed was 14%. And after the after the settlements, it would be 6.23%.
And the sharing.
Oh yeah, there's also a sharing mechanism incorporated into the settlements. I think it was the first settlement. Let's see, that was. Mm-hmm. 50% sharing of any return on equity above 10.75% would be 50% sharing between the company and the customers.
When Pat and I talked through this in my office the other day, we kind of went through this. One of the questions I had is that, is there a way that we can kind of put out what you just said in almost like a memo? I know it can't be part of the order, but I think that would be very helpful to have. And so where would something like that be? It would just be in...
Well, it is all it's all in the order, but we can put together a summary that's easier to view.
Yeah, and we usually do for major rate cases, so that's a good idea. We should do it again.
Right.
That assumes we're going to be doing it. After considering the settlement, I'm comfortable with it. It's like any settlement process. Some things might have been a little different coming out of a if we were to fully proceed with it. But given where I think we were likely to be, given a commission order and or appeal of commission order, and where I think probably legally we're on the best footing, I think it's a reasonable compromise. And so I'm comfortable with the settlement as well.
I'm not. I have to admit, I'm not. First of all, I'm glad that we heard the whole case, because one of the things my experience has taught me is that pre-hearing settlements are really unfortunate, and so I appreciate that staff took this one all the way. And I don't know that this one had the potential for a pre-hearing settlement anyway, given the delta between the two positions at hearing. I think that there was one of the concerns I have is that there was so much chaos with the late filed exhibits, the last minute things, and then that resulted ultimately on day four of a two-day hearing, Mike Diller's testimony that was more of an admonishment of the company's behavior than it was the issues in the case. All of that concerned me to the point where I didn't know what to think, and the result, of course, being they went back to the table and some of the issues that were raised that are addressed in the order were being addressed then in the settlement. But the one major thing, there are two things, but one major thing, first of all, that I was concerned with it, was the identification of a delta in an after-the-fact analysis. And, again, given sort of the way things unfolded, perhaps my trust level isn't real high with even the results of that after-the-fact analysis. And while Mike was very amenable on the stand during the settlement hearing, and maybe that's not a solid legal position to be in, but it concerned me to the point where I don't like us being in that position. I felt a little bit like Jim Roche, frankly, and in how a delta so wide can be brought so close together. This is not a situation where certainly Alana and Pat can tell you that I was ever comfortable with a settlement. I always said, when asked, I prefer the right decision to an amenable one. I don't place that high a value on harmony. But I do intend, and I would think we all will explore the reasons for some of that after the case. It was tempting at the time to explore some of the reasons for why the company was so defiant in responding to data requests. That has to be addressed, and that'll be addressed, again, after this. And it was too uncomfortable probably on day four of a two-day hearing. But the other thing is, and probably the more pertinent issue is, I am still convinced that we should not acquiesce to Diamond Willow. That is a project that I think all of the evidence supports was built specifically, exclusively for and in Montana as a result of their mandate. We don't have a mandate in North Dakota. I realize that our voluntary 10% constitutes somewhat public policy, and companies feel somewhat bound by it. But the Montana, the Diamond Willow RFP, is so specific that to me that is just a policy position that if we acquiesce to that, we have taken all the ammunition out of our own weapons, if you will, for any future rate cases where other states might impose, while just as offensive but perhaps not as clearly proven, policies that would drive rates in North Dakota. I just think we would be giving up too much of our own bargaining power in those future cases. And the fact that Diamond Willow is not in an IRP, the fact that they didn't request an ADP, and granted they don't have to, but this is also the same company that pushed for the ADP law by their own admission, by the testimony of their own lobbyist. It just smacks of a let's do things the way we always do them rather than do the hard thing and require Montana to pay for this thing that we built for them in their state. So I'm not comfortable with the settlement.
I have concerns about the RFP process. I think they're concerns that we need to proactively address with MDU. To me, the problem is just simply excluding it, which is why I say we would probably end up at about this dollar value anyway, I think, is that if you look at the standards set forth in law, which are, is it used, is it useful, I mean, all of those kinds of things, it meets them. We may not like the way that it was procured or the way that the decision was arrived at to get that particular project, and I've got plenty of concerns about that, but when you look at the technical standard of used and usefulness for the benefit of ratepayers, was it needed, and then you look at the cost, and from a cost standpoint, it was cheaper than the other projects that were built in North Dakota simply because of timing. So even on a cost basis, it would be tough for me to simply exclude it. which is why I say that the concerns that we have about the procurement process, the sort of acquiescence to, you know, build it in Montana first, all of that, are things I think we need to be continually addressing with MDU and all of our utility companies. But at the end of the day, when given a settlement that settles the case, settles it and probably ends up where I think we would end up anyway and where a court would have us end up anyway, I mean, to me, then just saves excess litigation costs we'd otherwise incur.
Well, for me, I mean, I would agree with everything Tony said, but I just did throw in there, too, about one of the concerns that I had was the ability of the company not to bring forth the data when folks asked for it. But when they agreed to, I don't know exact terminology, but was change in the way they do their auditing and bookkeeping and some of those kind of things, that's included in one of the settlement agreements, that basically they were going to work with our staff going forward as to how to track some of these things. That created a pretty high level of comfort for me because the two issues were the ones we're talking about right now, but I think that those are included in what we have in front of us right now.
So. Well, and I don't disagree with any of that, and that stuff has to happen going forward.
How we look at ADPs in the future?
Yeah, it doesn't excuse what happened in the past, however, and in my level of confidence in information that is gathered, an economic analysis that is done specifically to prove that this was a good investment in the past versus what would be the right investment in the future, especially when they conflict with previous testimony in other cases, I just have a lack of confidence. And that's we have the record that we have, and I understand that.
With regard to the gap between the which you brought up, which I mean, I agree, especially from a layman's perspective, it can be hard to sort of understand that. But in one way, it's unfortunate, but in the other way, it is just sort of the reality of regulatory proceedings. I mean, they're litigation, and so they're driven by litigation strategies, which drives each side to somewhat extreme positions, which then can make it difficult for the commission because you have to come to the reasonable answer, which sometimes isn't always supported in the record because as a litigation strategy, each side has attempted to kind of go to each of their corners, as it were, which is why a lot of these end up in settlements everybody in the room kind of knows what the right answer is, but they've had a tough time articulating that for fear that they'll get their lunch eaten if they say that on the record, and so you get to a settlement where you think you probably would be at anyway. And
I would be more comfortable if I felt like the people or the ratepayers were as well-armed as the company. And that's when it's the company that has the attitude that they get to drive the strategy and basically articulated that through their lawyer. That's the thing that I'm struggling with. And my biggest problem isn't that this might not be the right number at some point, and maybe it is. I don't know. But we've got another rate case in front of us, and there's going to be a lot of data requests. And there's going to be another one, and, you know, there's a lot going on that's going to require recovery of costs, and I don't like this as a strategy. I like a far more transparent, I think confidence of the public is paramount. And that's what I worry about in sort of going down this path. By the way, before we give too much credit for the shrinking, request, let's not forget the first couple million they already got. You know, that was the Big Stone 2 costs. And then the other stuff,
Sands Big Stone had brought it down to about 11%. But
yeah.
I mean, that's totally from memory. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact. But it was the other thing was that, some of those other issues up front shouldn't have been in there. I mean, the fact that we get to a number that just happens to be exactly the interim rates also is one of those things that I think diminishes public confidence in the process as opposed to enhances cynicism of the process that, gee, wasn't that convenient? That's how I would view it if I was on the outside looking in. So anyway, maybe I can be convinced otherwise, but right now I'm not inclined to support this settlement.
Well, but I guess then we get down to I'm ready to submit what we have now and vote on it the next appropriate meeting, so then that's what I'd prefer to do. And whether that would be the next 2-week meeting or if we'd like some more time. But I'm happy with.
Oh, I'm just as ready to vote on it on June 8th.
Yeah.
Okay. Mark and I are gone. Not that you need us at the meeting on June 8th to the lawyers' conference. And I didn't know if anyone else was gone too. Mark. You'll be gone on the 8th, right? You won't be here. Yeah, so.
Coming back Tuesday, so.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine with me. We'll just have to have everything ready before that.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? Anything from staff? Anything from commission? Pat, you look like you're reaching for your mic.
Right. it would appear, at least for Commissioner Kulk's order, we would be using what we have prepared in draft form.
Yeah.
Fixing it a little.
Typos, but I'm assuming it's go through and clean it up.
Is there anything that you think should be added or taken away? Commissioner?
I looked through it and I was fine. I gave you my changes and I think you incorporated all those. So I didn't, for me personally, know it was okay. Fine before this.
And we'll be, if you have something later on, we'll of course be around for making changes.
Okay. Good. Anything else? Once, twice, sold. All right. We'll close the work session, and what we come back is a group at 1.
1 o'clock.